Welcome to episode 38 of Real Travels. I'm your host, Lisa Iannucci, and I am your film and TV travel guide. This week, I'm not talking about a destination. Instead, I brought on a very special film and TV actress. So stick around for a whole lot of fun. Let's get started. Everybody, man, oh man, I cannot believe it's already the second week in August. Besides the fact that I'm melting here in New York, I took a couple of weeks off because we've been painting the house. It's on sale right now, and I'm working, and I just needed a little time to regroup. Doing all of these things is exhausting. Fun, but exhausting. Before we get to that interview I was talking about, let's talk about what I've been watching. When I have had time to relax, I've actually watched a few more Charlie Chaplin movies, including his 1936 Modern Times, which I really enjoyed, and I do remember seeing it when I was in college. You can find some of Charlie Chaplin's movies on YouTube or on TCM. I recorded them on TCM, but I know that some of them you can watch on YouTube. And if you're quarantined, or even if your kids have headed back to school, or you have some downtime while you're home, it might be fun to go back and look at some of the old silent films. It's a great time period to introduce your children to something new, and they might actually find some of his movies kind of funny. Modern Times was a little bit, it was kind of like what a rom-com would be considered today, but it had a political storyline throughout it as well. But I like Charlie Chaplin. Obviously the historical impact that he had on film is just, way too much to even talk about on this podcast, but something that, again, if you're looking for something new to do, maybe you could go back and watch some of those movies. I'm also excited because on a completely different scale, Big Brother is back. And in times of quarantine, it's nice having something back that is new. I've been watching it for years with EJ. Yes, it's mindless fun, and in this day and age, it's exactly what I need. Do you watch Big Brother? I don't know if people out there watch reality shows, but I do. What do you think of the All-Stars? There are a few of the ones I like this season, including Nicole F., Cody, Tyler, Mama Day, and Nicole A. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out over the next, I think they're going 90 days this time, and they're about 2 weeks into it as I record this. We've had our first eviction, and we're heading into the second head of household. So I'm not going to talk about that every time, but again, it's just one of those mindless things that with everything going on in the world, it's just fun to watch. Now, I did get a Broadway HD subscription for a month, and on there I watched the musical Holiday Inn with Corbin Blue. You probably remember him from High School Musical. And I absolutely adored it. And oh my God, can that man tap dance? I never knew. I mean, obviously I knew he could sing from High School Musical. Never knew he could tap dance. And he did a wonderful job in that show, and I urge you guys, Broadway HD does, I think, a 1 week free trial, and then I think it's something like $8.99 a month. It's not a sponsor or anything like that of the show, but maybe it's worth also checking out. You're not going to find things like, Wicked or anything like that that's like big name, or Hamilton. You'll find Hamilton on Disney, but you're not going to find the big name Broadway musicals on here. You get like Kinky Boots and Billy Elliot. But there's a lot of things that they have beyond that, including like art documentaries and tap dance documentaries and plays, Broadway plays and dramas. It's not just musicals. So you might want to check that out too. Finally, on Netflix, I got around to watching Dumplin' with Jennifer Aniston. And it's a very, very sweet movie. And I found out that this movie is based on a fictional Texas town, but it was actually filmed in parts of Georgia. And if you recall, if you've seen the movie, there's a bar in the movie that serves as like the drag bar that Dumplin goes to and meets the drag queens that are there and perform and teach her how to perform. It was filmed at a place called Southern Comfort Restaurant and Lounge in Conley, Georgia. Unfortunately, I looked it up. It is now permanently closed. But in case you were heading to Texas to see any of the filming sites, they actually are filmed in Georgia. So I also want to remind you that my book, On Location, A Film and TV Lover's Travel Guide, is still available. If you're interested in a copy, I would prefer that you order it through my local independent bookstore, which is Oblong Books in Rhinebeck, New York. And their website is oblongbooks.com. If you want an autographed copy, reach out to the bookstore. I'm sure that I can head up there and sign a copy before they ship it out to you. But I would prefer that you do order through them. If you can't and you just still need to order the book, that's fine. Order it anywhere you want, but that's my order of preference. So speaking of Rhinebeck, where Oblong Books is located, I'm actually in the middle of a book that I want to recommend, and that's The Rural Diaries, Love, Livestock, and Big Life Lessons Down on Mischief Farm. It's written by Hillary Burton Morgan, who you might know is the former host of MTV's Total Request Live, and is Peyton Sawyer on the WB or CW's drama One Tree Hill, which she was on for 6 years or 6 seasons. The book is a biography of Hillary's life when she fell in love with a town that's very close to me, and that is Rhinebeck, New York in the Hudson Valley. She lives here. The book is funny, honest, sweet, and for me, it's close to home with a lot of places that she mentions that I'm all too familiar with. But I really do hope you'll read it, and I do hope it actually inspires you to come and visit the Hudson Valley and see what the love of this entire community is all about. Rhinebeck's also just really, really cool. My girls live up in Rhinebeck, and I hope to live there too, but if I can't, visiting it is one of my favorite things to do. I only live a couple of towns away. So, on that note, that's what I've been doing this week, and I also have obviously been doing interviews, so let's jump into this interview. I cannot wait. I hope you enjoy this, and I will see you on the other side. So this is probably going to be my favorite Real Travels episode since starting the podcast, because I am honored to introduce this guest to you, and I have to admit I'm a bit fangirly over on this one, so bear with me. And before I just say her name, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. And my guest started out her career in episodic TV and small film roles in the early 1970s. She's worked alongside such legends as John Astin, Mickey Rooney, Milton Berle. I have chills already. She's made appearances on Mary Hartman, Starsky and Hutch, The Love Boat, Beverly Hills, 90210. The Wayans Brothers and Profiler. She's had roles in films such as The Witches of Eastwick and The Fabulous Baker Boys. And I hope she doesn't mind me saying, but she's probably most remembered as one of my favorite characters ever, Big Rosie Greenbaum on Laverne and Shirley. My guest today, and I'm so excited, is Carol Ida White. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Thank you. I'm so humbled by your introduction. Oh my goodness. And I just realized I must be very old.
No, just experienced. Now, how are you with all this craziness going on in the world? Let's start with that today. How are you doing?
By the grace of all that is good in this universe, I am really, really lucky. I have a roof over my head and food in my fridge, too much food in my fridge, and I haven't caught the plague. And so, you know, I'm better than most of the universe. Most of the planet, and you know, it's hard, but I'm okay, thank God.
But do you have toilet paper? That's the question.
You know what? I do. And if I weren't such a hoarder, I'd tell you and your large audience where to get it. No. now we pretty much... Can you get toilet paper readily?
I can. You know, it depends on the day of the week. Some days of the week, my grocery store may not have it. But for the most part now, you can find it. And it's weird what I can't find. I can't find bee spray, and I can't find paper towels on a regular basis. So it's weird.
It is weird. It almost sounded to me like you said the first thing was beef spray?
Oh, no, bee spray. Like, I have a little bit of a bee problem outside in my yard, and I've been wanting to... Yeah, and I went into Lowe's and Home Depot, couldn't find any bee spray, and...
I see.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. If you go in to buy honey, honey is so expensive, and our planet is... The bees are being choked by... Roundup and other poisons, you know. So when I hear that someone has a bee infestation, I say, I wonder who, you know, if you can call Bees Anonymous or Bee Rescue, and maybe they can come and somehow take the hive and set it free or something. I know it can be an issue. You know, with stings and all, but I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, for the most part, I'm really good about that. Like, I really try not to bother them if they're building something in the trees, and I try to get some help. But every once in a while, you just have a little section that you can't get into or something like that. But I'm very cautious, you know, in making sure that we take care of this planet and, you know, but now work, obviously, I'm sure right now has just kind of stopped, you know, for a while, right?
Yes, work has stopped for the past 6 months. And I'll tell you, my agent used to call me. He'd say, Carol, you got to be out at Warner Brothers at 3 o'clock. Bring a picture and resume. And then he'd send me, you know, by fax or something, what I had to read. Today, it's a completely different business, as you can probably guess. They don't want your picture. They don't want your resume. For theater, it's different, but... For TV and films, they want you to self-tape your audition at home and send it over the internet. And I just did that about a week and a half ago for a movie to play a grandmother. Yes, I'm now playing Big Rosie is now playing grandmothers. And happy to do it, by the way, but... it was supposed to start August 3rd. Now, I guess they've pushed it back. But I do these self-tapes at home, and we'll see. You know, my sister doesn't let me go to the grocery store because she says I'm vulnerable. So, you know, I'd have to sneak out of the house and... No, wear a bag over my head and a mask. Show up. But it's hard not working. But I'll tell you, Lisa, what saved my life is that I started painting, of all things.
Wow. When did you get into that?
Well, my boyfriend, Farmer Joe, he lives on a farm in Oregon. And when I go up there... When I tell you, Lisa, there's nothing to do on the farm, so I started painting a picture of my dog. And you know what? It was really fun. And then my niece had a wedding, and you know what? I was looking at some pictures of her, and here, now I'm stuck at home, of course. I said, I think I'm going to paint a picture of the bride. And... Then I painted a picture of my sister and her mother-in-law and my boyfriend, Farmer Joe. I've painted three of him. And Now I'm painting nude, so if you ever want to sit for me, you know.
I wouldn't do that to you.
No, nobody's shaming allowed on this podcast, my dear. So it just is for me very calming. And that's it. I paint pictures of my dog, of other people's dogs. Day and night. Sometimes I paint in the dark. I know it's crazy, but...
Well, at the beginning of this pandemic, when we were first quarantined, my husband and I found, like, old episodes of Bob Ross, and we were like, wow, this is so zen, you know? It's like...
Okay!
Isn't he? He was fantastic.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to Google him. I'm pretending I know what Bob Ross is. What is Bob Ross?
Bob Ross was a painter that way back in like the, well, not way back, but in, because I'm up there too, but in the, I think in the 80s and in the 70s, he had a show on PBS where he would teach you how to paint.
Okay.
You remember?
Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you, there is a fantastic painter on the internet named Yupari. I don't know how to say it. Yupari. He seems to be Japanese American, and for no reason at all, I started painting in acrylics, knowing nothing about acrylic and how fast it dries. Well, he has a whole video on painting portraits in acrylic, and he has taught me so much. So you'd be surprised how instructive these videos can be when you find some really good ones. He's taught me everything I know about acrylic, you know, because I didn't really know anything about the materials, to tell you the truth. And I've been learning. Every painting I learn, you know, learn something new.
So with the art and obviously the work you do in theater and movies, I mean, have you always been a very creative person, like from when you were little?
That's a good question. I had no artistic ability when I was little, except I'll say to make my father laugh. And you know, when I was really little, he used to take me in elevators with him, and he'd say, let's do the joke, you know, if there were other people going to be in the elevator. He'd say to me, I hear you had to shoot your dog. And I'd say, yeah. He'd say, well, was he mad? I'd say, well, he wasn't too happy about it. And, you know, here's this little 3 or 4 year old just learning to speak with, you know, personality plus. So that's when I started being funny. And then I found, you know, I was a fat kid, you know, like I say, nobody shaming. Little did I know. My mother used to say, you want to be an actress, you can't be a fat actress. Then, of course, came Roseanne. And, you know, things changed, thank goodness, for women in the industry. What are we talking about? Was I always artistic? No, I used to just love this girl that was in my grade school with me. She could draw horses, Carol Shrillo. I thought if I could only draw a horse, you know. But now I'm painting portraits, and in this time of the pandemic when we can't see the people we love, you know, I feel like I'm with them almost when I'm painting them.
And you mentioned your dad, too, because a lot of people may not know who your dad is. And tell my audience what it was like, what your dad did, and what it was like growing up with him.
Okay. Well, my father, hang on one second. My father was a character actor who started on Broadway, and his name was Jesse White. Now, you might not know his name, but if you would see his face, you'd go, oh, well, I know him. He was doing a successful play on Broadway called Harvey about the invisible rabbit. And when they wanted to make the movie with Jimmy Stewart, they brought my dad from Broadway to Hollywood. They signed him to contract at Universal. He made the movie Harvey, and then movie after movie. Then he, when television came in, he was on Make Room for Daddy. He was on series after series with Ann Southern. Then he did every show on TV, The Munsters, The Addams Family, The Mary Tyler Moore, just every show you can possibly imagine, my dad did. And then someone said to him, actually it was Stan Freberg, the brilliant Stan Freberg, who was the first person to create funny commercials. He hired my dad to do Chongqing Chow Mein commercials, and they were prize-winning commercials. And then someone offered my father the opportunity to be the original Maytag repairman on television. So that, he was the Maytag repairman for 25 years.
That's incredible. And it, back then, I mean, you know, to get an opportunity like that because you were paid by each time the commercial ran. So that was a good gig to have too, right?
You think? Yes. You know, I owe my beautiful condo in Beverly Hills. You know, thank you, Daddy. I look up, I say, thank you, Daddy. He passed in 97. But I'll tell you, this amazing 25-year gig on television, he opened malls and Sears, you know, not Sears, but wherever they were having a Maytag opening somewhere, he was always there. And it was financially so, so rewarding for all of us. However, my dad was a real, real actor. And he was so identified with Maytag that it X'd him out of certain roles that he wanted to play. You know, they'd say, oh, we love you, Jesse, but you're just too identifiable with Maytag. So it was a double-edged sword. Many, many actors are not as fortunate as my dad was. But it had its price artistically for my father. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, when Maytag was done, the very last job my dad had, and it really is full circle, was a two-part Seinfeld, where he plays someone on the board of, you know, where Jerry's father and mother live in Florida. Well, on the board, so Jerry sends his father a Cadillac, and all of a sudden the board thinks that Jerry's father steals the money from the board or the condo, blah, blah, blah. On this board was a comedian, actor Sandy Baron, Bill Macy, who played Maud's husband, mm-hmm. God rest his soul. He was so kind. My dad. You know, so you got all these old character actors. And my dad happened to have been the very first celebrity that Jerry ever asked for an autograph when he was walking up Broadway with his mother. He sees my dad. Mom. He gets my dad's autograph. He was so excited. He never forgot that. And so when my dad was close to the end of his life, Jerry hired him to do this, what turned into a two-part Seinfeld where you get double the residuals. And it was just such a joy for my father to do the Seinfeld show because he just loved it. And know, like full circle with Jerry, who still talks about it, by the way. And if you buy, I don't know, like on Amazon, all the Seinfeld shows, at the end he talks about meeting my father and how my dad was, last job was on his show.
You know, it's so heartwarming to hear a story like that, and to think about, you know, the impact that one person, one actor, one character actor had on somebody else. But I have to ask you. I mean, I'm sure still recognized today for your part on television. I mean, do you have that same kind of connection your dad had, where you're just like recognized where you go?
You know, to be perfectly honest, I don't exactly look like Big Rosie anymore. She was a looker, if I say so myself. You know, here in West Hollywood and Hollywood, my generation, you're quite a bit younger than me, but did you watch Laverne and Shirley when it was original? You're not that old.
I'm 55, not like originally, but pretty close, yeah. I'm a junkie for the show. I have all of the DVDs. I've watched it. I watch it all the time. No joke.
It was funny. It was a funny show. I mean, I'm the first one to admit it. You know, Lenny and Squiggy. I mean, you don't get any funnier than those two, you know, dorks. I mean, seriously. And Penny and Cindy. That kind of comedy. It's a little different today what they produce. And back to your question, yes, I do get recognized by, like, in the market, someone will be behind me and they'll be looking at me, and I will be wearing a trench coat over my pajamas. Yes, you heard it here first. Because I'm just right around the corner from the market, and they'll go, "I know you, you're Rosie," and it will be like heartwarming to be acknowledged by someone young who, like you, saw the reruns. You know, I guess they still play them all over today, but, you know, to be recognized and someone says, "Oh, you're so funny, oh, you were so funny." You know, it's having your work appreciated, and that's kind of why I do it. I have to express my art, but then for someone to say, "Nice work, very good," you know, it kind of just, you know, it's the icing on the cake.
Did having your dad in show business affect your decision to go into show business, or how did that come about?
Most definitely. My dad worked with Danny Thomas on a show called Make Room for Daddy. And it was Danny and his oldest daughter was played by Sherry Jackson, who then went on to the Donna Reed Show and that show with Craig T. Nelson, Coach. She played his wife. And then the son was Rusty Hamer, and then the littlest daughter was Angela Cartwright. Now, everybody knows Angela Cartwright from Star Trek, or I don't know what, another one of those space age shows, I can't remember what, but she and her sister Veronica, by the way, was in The Witches of Eastwick, she was brilliant in it, she and her sister were child actors. So my dad would go to the studio, I'd beg him to take me. I'm six, right? Go there. And my dad, I swear, he loved that Angela Cartwright. And she was little. She was, maybe she was six or seven. She was so precocious and polite. And my dad just loved working with her. And so, of course, I would say to him, well, can I be on the show? Can I be on the show? He'd say, wait till you're seven. Then right? Then I turned seven. Wait till you're eight. You know, and this is how it was. So I started doing plays in Sunday school. That's the only place I could, you know, anyone I could get near it. He wouldn't let me near professional show business. He said, it is so hard on children. You know, kids have bad moods just like the rest of us, but they are on it. You know, watching the clock, everybody needs to get everything done fast, and sometimes kids don't feel that good, you know what I mean? Like, but they have to show up, suit up, and he wouldn't let me near it. He said, no, you go to high school, you go to college, if that's what you want to do, I support you. He'd always come to my plays, and my very first play was a Sunday school play with Richard Dreyfuss. It was a Hanukkah play. Yeah, it was a Hanukkah play. He was Thomas the Shamus and I was Luella the Latke, you know, Hanukkah.
And did you get, because I know you've done plays also, you're not just television. Did that give you like a feeling of, hey, I would love to be on stage?
Oh, yes, yes. That's all I did until I went pro, really, was play after play after play in college. And when I got out of college and came back to Hollywood, I joined Equity, doing my darling, darling friend, lifetime friend, Carl Reiner, his play, Enter Laughing, it was called. And I played, well, I can't think of the name. I played the receptionist secretary. I was young then, you know, but Carl came to see the show. Carl's daughter, Annie, and I were best friends from the fifth grade on. Carl and his family moved out from New Rochelle to do the Dick Van Dyke Show. Well, first he wrote on the Dinah Shore Show. The Dinah Shore Show, yeah. And then he did the Dick Van Dyke Show. He produced it. And Annie and Rob and their younger brother Lucas, they, of course, they all came, and Estelle, his wife. And so the Reiners and the Whites were lifetime friends. And boy, that Carl, honest to God, up until the very last day of his life, he was writing, he was walking. And you know, Mel Brooks would come every single night to have dinner with Carl and sit and watch TV or watch movies. And after Carl passed on, I guess it was July 4th, Mel still comes. He still comes and has dinner there. He's such a sweet guy, too. Geniuses both. Geniuses.
And there are some people in this world that you just don't ever, it sounds illogical, but you just don't ever think you're going to lose, you know? And Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks were two of them for me that I'm like, no, we're never going to lose them. They're always going to be here, you know?
Right?
And
right.
It's so sad. And I mean, the memories you must have are just, you know, incredible. You know, you've been around so many of these greats. I mean, what, you know, and Gary Marshall and so many greats in your life. I mean, what can you say, like, is even talking about Carl, like, what's a lesson or something that you feel like you learned from being around them so much?
Lesson. Take risks on behalf of your art. Protect your art. Everyone will have an opinion, you know, sometimes everyone wants everything you do to be a success. Sometimes, you know, you're in something and it turns out to be a loss, as my dad would say. And, you know, people will come after the show And I would get it, oh, Carol. And I know they're thinking, how did you get in this? And I just say, oh, thank you for coming. Interesting show, isn't it? So everybody has an opinion. And what you think of me is none of my business. I just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And next. Mm-hmm. Never give up. Never give up. Your dreams don't have an expiration date. One of my wonderful teachers, Richard Lawson, taught me that. Doesn't matter how old you are, Carol. It doesn't matter if you have a cane or if you have that. You can work, you can work, you can work, you can work. If you can breathe, you can work. And so that's what I tell young artists. Don't give up. It's easy to give up, but you always live with, gee, maybe I could have, maybe I should have, you know. Anyway, Carl wrote, like I say, Carl was writing up until the last day of his life.
Wow.
Yeah, never give up.
Did you, when you were growing up, did you idolize, you know, like certain celebrities or actors or producers or, you know?
Oh, gosh, yes. Starstruck, like the rest of the world, for sure. Oh, let's see where to begin. You talk about Carl Reiner. Carl took me and Annie, you know, the two best friends, took us to the last show. You know Judy Garland?
Of course.
Judy Garland had a TV show that she did out of CBS here in Hollywood. And it was her last show. And you know who was her guest star was Barbara Streisand.
Mm-hmm.
Carl took me and Annie to watch this show. So we were in the audience watching Barbara Streisand, who I love her. And obviously, the legend Judy Garland. And you know, sometimes I see things on Facebook or somewhere, and when I would make a comment, oh, I was at that broadcast, people first say, how old are you? but it was a real, real thrill. I love Barbara Streisand, and then I get to work with her. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. The very first movie I ever did was called Up the Sandbox, starring Barbara Streisand. And, well, I had to do a nude scene. Yes, you heard it here first. I had to do a nude scene. But I'm thinking to myself, to work with Barbara Streisand in a movie that everyone will see. I'm playing her babysitter, Miss Spittlemeister, and I'm coming there to do my homework while she's out at a party. And then my chemistry, you know, partner comes, and we end up having sex in her bed, and Miss Spittlemeister's finishing her organic, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, she was so kind to me. And any time I'd see her driving around town, I think I might have worked 2 days on that movie. The highlight, obviously, of my young life, to tell you how nervous I was, I have to knock on the door. My books are in my hand. I knock on the door, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, Barbara Streisand's going to open the door and talk to me. Will I be able to do this? This is my first movie. She opens the door. Oh, hi, Miss Spittlemeister. Come in, have some chicken. Da, da, da. So I come in, and I'm so nervous, I accidentally slam the door behind me. All the pictures fall off.
Oh, no.
God is my witness. Cut. And it was like, oh, my God, they're going to recast me. They're going to know I don't know what I'm doing, you know. And the prop guys, they were saying, don't worry, it happens all the time. All the pictures fell off the wall, you know, me forgetting that it's just, you know, a studio set and not a... Anyway, but she couldn't have been kinder. She called me into her dressing room during lunch. Does your mother know you're going to take your clothes off? And I said, but she knows you're in the movie, and you know, she, I don't know what I said, but you know, she couldn't have been kinder to make me feel comfortable. And I'd see her driving around town. She'd honk, "Miss Spittlemeister, Miss Spittlemeister."
Oh, that's funny.
Back in the old days, this was in, I think that was 1974. So
it was just yesterday.
Just yesterday. And I don't see her driving around town too much anymore. She's probably inside taking care not to catch the plague.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all are at this point. At least I hope we all are, you know?
Right.
You know, I just, I want to ask you before, and I know that we're, I know you're very busy, well, very busy, even though you're home, but still, I want to ask you this. So one of the reasons why I started this podcast is because people travel, like if there's a favorite film or TV show that they have, they'll travel to see where it was filmed, or a museum dedicated to somebody special that in acting. Have you ever done anything like that? Did you fall in love with a movie or a TV show and say, I have to go there and visit, and you actually went there and visited?
No, and I'll tell you why. Because of my father having such close proximity to the stars, you know, I was at Universal having lunch with my dad one day. We were in the commissary, and as we're leaving, up walks Paul Newman. "Hey, Jesse, Paul, how are you? How?" And me, like, just, it's Paul Newman, you know, trying not to embarrass my father by wanting to slip Paul Newman my phone number. just professional. Being around the professional business all my life, since I can remember, I still got excited when I got to meet Elizabeth Taylor. I got excited when I met Barbara Streisand. You know, Dustin Hoffman, the nicest man ever. I got to work on something with him. Steve Martin I worked with on Grand Canyon. What a great guy. I'm still a little starstruck, but to do those things like, oh, this is where they filmed the Brady Bunch, not my deal, you know. Not my deal. Not that nothing wrong with the Brady Bunch. It was a wonderful show. But you know what I mean. Being a part of the business since I was a kid, it didn't have the same effect on me as, let's say, someone who didn't grow up in the middle of it.
Is there anybody you always wanted to work with? I mean, you've talked to a lot of amazing people in Hollywood. Is there somebody that you always wanted to work with, or something you always wanted to do that you haven't done?
I'll tell you. I'd like, since you asked me, and I'll put it out in the universe. Oh, I'd like to work with Robert De Niro. I'd like to be in something with Robert De Niro, and I'd like to work on Broadway. I'd like to do a play on Broadway. I'd like to work at the Mark Taper Forum in Los Angeles, our big theater. I had the pleasure to do Harvey, of all plays, with the amazing, brilliant French Stewart from, Third Rock from the Sun, and Mom, you know. He did the Jimmy Stewart role, and I was in the cast at the Laguna Playhouse, and this was a year ago last summer. And it brought my love of hearing 500 people laugh at what I do, you know. It just lit a fire under me. And then right after that, I did a new play at the Gary Marshall Theater in Los Angeles, and again had the time of my life. So I'd like to continue to do theater and film, and if you talk to Bob De Niro say, "There's a girl in Los Angeles. She swears she'll be, she's easy or whatever." But anyway, it's always so great to talk to you, and I can't wait to listen to your podcast.
Oh, Carol, thank you. I'm so glad that you decided to come on this. I want you to write a book. I want you to write your autobiography. I want to read more. I want to know more. The stories you have to tell are just unbelievable. I mean, I hope you do that one day.
Thank you. And, you know, if this, I call it Covfefe. If Covfefe lasts much longer, I'll still be here in the house. That's what I call the COVID Covfefe. Or Trump's flu. As long as we, you know, my sister said you should write a book. She tells me that too. So between paintings, maybe I'll start working on that or do some kind of internet show. This seems to be terribly popular now. People doing their things on the internet. So if I can figure out how to work my computer, I will possibly do that.
Anything so we can get more of you. And Carol, thank you so much for doing this. You're amazing.
Thank you, Lisa. And I wish you continued success, perfect health, much joy and laughter, darling. Thank you for having me on.
Same to you, Carol. Thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Carol, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. The fangirl in me, like even to this moment, I am literally giddy at the fact that you came on my show. And it is just amazing to get to know you. It's always great to talk to you. And you are honestly one of my favorite celebrity interviews ever. So that's it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Real Travels podcast. Please, if you get a chance, follow me on Instagram at The Virgin Traveler. And if you have a minute, maybe leave me a review on this podcast or click on the iTunes stars if you're listening to me on iTunes. Hopefully you'll give it a 5, but you know, whatever you feel it's worth would be great. It would really help me out. And thank you so much again, and I will see you all next week.